Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Life-Giving Sword: Secret Teachings from the House of the Shogun. Translated and introduced by William Scott Wilson, presents a compact but influential set of Japanese martial and ethical teachings linked to the Tokugawa Shogunate era. But the title points to a central paradox in classical sword traditions: mastery is not only about the ability to take life, but about cultivating the discernment, restraint, and clarity that protect life and prevent needless conflict. Wilson, known for making historical samurai texts accessible to modern readers, frames these teachings within the broader world of Japanese strategy, governance, and personal discipline. Rather than functioning as a modern self-help book, the work offers a window into how elite warrior households articulated training, decision-making, and character formation. Readers can expect guidance that blends technical awareness, psychological readiness, and moral responsibility, revealing why the sword became a metaphor for leadership, judgment, and self-command as much as a weapon. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the meaning of the life-giving sword. A core theme is the reinterpretation of sword skill as a force for preservation rather than destruction. In classical Japanese martial thought, the highest level of ability is often described as the capacity to end conflict before it becomes violence, or to control violence so precisely that it does not spread. The idea of a life-giving sword points to victory that minimizes harm, including harm to oneself, one's community, and even one's opponent. Instead of glorifying aggression, the teachings emphasize restraint, timing, and the responsibility that comes with competence. And aptin, this perspective also reframes training goals. The practitioner is pushed to move beyond mere technique toward judgment, under pressure, emotional regulation, and ethical clarity. The sword becomes a test of character because it amplifies consequences, forcing the reader to consider what decisions are justified when stakes are high. For modern readers, this topic translates into a leadership and risk mindset strength. Without control becomes danger, while skill guided by responsibility can stabilize relationships, teams, and environments. The book's enduring appeal lies in this moral inversion, where the greatest power is the power to avert needless damage. Secondly, secret teachings and the culture of transmission. The book draws attention to how martial knowledge was historically preserved and transmitted within lineages, households, and institutions connected to political power. Secret teachings did not only mean hidden techniques, they often referred to distilled principles, training methods, and mental frameworks shared selectively to protect a school's integrity and to ensure the student's maturity. This topic helps readers understand why instruction could be layered, with fundamentals taught widely and deeper material reserved for those who demonstrated discipline and loyalty. It also highlights the relationship between martial training and governance in the Tokugawa period, when stability depended on controlling violence as much as winning fights. In that setting, teachings about awareness, self-command, and conflict prevention were politically meaningful. Wilson's role as translator and contextualizer matters here because he helps bridge cultural distance, signaling how such documents functioned as both practical manuals and ethical charters. Modern readers can take from this a model of deliberate skill building: do not chase shortcuts, respect stages of competence, and recognize that advanced capability requires advanced responsibility. The culture of transmission ultimately frames the text as a product of institutional memory, shaped by the needs of a ruling warrior class. Thirdly, strategy as perception, timing, and positioning. Beyond any single technique, classical sword teachings often focus on strategic fundamentals: how to read situations, manage distance, seize timing, and choose positions that reduce risk. This topic emphasizes that strategy is not abstract theory, but applied perception. The practitioner learns to detect intent, patterns, and openings while maintaining a posture that allows rapid response. Timing becomes a moral as well as tactical issue, because acting too early can create unnecessary escalation, while acting too late can invite harm. Positioning similarly extends beyond footwork into social reality, where you stand in relation to others, what you signal through your composure, and how you create conditions that discourage attack. Readers interested in decision-making will recognize a transferable framework: gather information without panic, avoid committing before the moment is clear, and set up environments where success requires less force. The life-giving ideal is supported by these strategic habits because good perception and timing reduce the need for brute action. In a modern context, this can inform negotiations, crisis management, and personal boundary setting, where the goal is not domination, but stable outcomes. The topic underscores that mastery is often quiet, measured, and built on anticipation rather than reaction. Fourthly, mind, fear, and composure under pressure. A recurring concern in warrior teachings is the inner battlefield. Fear, anger, hesitation, and ego can sabotage even excellent technique. this topic explores the psychological discipline required to function when consequences are immediate. The text's orientation suggests that composure is not passivity but an active, trained stability that keeps perception accurate. When attention narrows under stress, people misread threats and overcommit when pride flares, they escalate conflicts to protect image. The life-giving sword approach, therefore, demands emotional sobriety and humility, because unnecessary violence often begins as a failure of self-regulation. Training, in this view, is as much about shaping the mind as shaping movement, cultivating readiness without tension and confidence without recklessness. For modern readers, this topic resonates with performance in high-stakes settings, public speaking, leadership decisions, emergency response, competitive environments, or difficult conversations. The principles encourage building routines that reduce mental noise, maintaining a calm baseline, and practicing restraint so that action remains proportional. The book's appeal is that it treats mindset as a skill, not a personality trait, implying that steadiness can be cultivated through repeated attention and disciplined habits. Lastly, ethics, duty, and the disciplined self, the teachings presented are inseparable from an ethical framework shaped by duty, hierarchy, and social responsibility. Even when readers do not share the historical context, the text illustrates how a warrior elite justified and constrained the use of force through codes of conduct and expectations of self-discipline. The sword becomes an instrument that must be governed by principle, because technical competence without ethics threatens the very order it claims to protect. This topic highlights how discipline is portrayed as continuous everyday behavior, speech, and choices build the character that will appear in moments of crisis. It also suggests that moral strength is practical, not ornamental, because it prevents impulsive decisions that carry long-term costs. Readers can translate this into contemporary life as integrity, under pressure acting consistently with values, avoiding performative aggression, and accepting responsibility for the effects of one's actions. Compared with purely technical martial discussions, the book's distinct value is its insistence that effectiveness and ethics are intertwined. Interfined by presenting guidance that links personal cultivation to societal stability, the text invites readers to see self-mastery as a form of service, where the highest capability is matched by the highest restraint. In conclusion, this book best serves readers who want authentic historical perspectives on samurai-era training, strategy, and character formation, especially those interested in Japanese martial traditions beyond pop culture myths. Martial artists, leaders, coaches, and students of ethics or military history can all benefit, because the work treats skill as a union of perception, composure, and responsibility rather than mere force. The practical value is not that it provides a modern step-by-step program, but that it offers durable principles for handling conflict, cultivate calm awareness, choose timing wisely, and aim for outcomes that reduce harm. These ideas can improve a reader's life by strengthening decision-making under pressure, helping them set firmer boundaries without unnecessary escalation, and encouraging disciplined habits that support consistency in work and relationships. Compared with similar books that romanticize the samurai or focus narrowly on technique, this one stands out for its emphasis on ethical restraint and the governance of power, paired with the accessibility of Wilson's translation and contextual framing. It is worth buying for readers who want concise, tradition-rooted guidance that connects personal mastery to the larger duty of protecting life and preserving stability. If you would like to support William Scott Wilson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.